Okay, introduce yourselves and tell us what you play in the band. Maybe Gabriella can start and then we'll go around.
Oh, well, I'm Gabriella. I play the drums.
I'm Jules and I do vocals.
I'm Anne and I play bass.
I'm Skidge and I play guitar.
Okay, and how did Margaret Thrasher, how long has Margaret Thrasher been around for?
About two and a half years or so, around that.
Okay, and how did the band form?
Basically, I think that Jules wanted to start like kind of a hardcore band, and then I didn't know how to play an instrument, so I was like, well, I'm kind of going to try to learn drums, and then so we got together, and the first few times we played, I like didn't know anything, so then we had to stop for a long time before I could kind of like carry a beat, sort of, and then we just sort of started, right?
Yeah, Skidge and I were in another band called Uncle Mustache that only existed when we were in Winnipeg or when people from Winnipeg were in Vancouver. And then after one of those times, we just decided to start a band for real.
So was someone living in Winnipeg and someone living in Vancouver?
No, we were just visiting there one time for like a week and we decided to start a band over there.
Yeah. Okay. Have you been in any other bands previous to this band? Is this a first-time band?
I've been in a few.
I've been in some pretty brutal, like, high school teenage bands, but nothing to actually mention.
Anne and I were kind of in a band called the Outcast Individuals together when we were in
high school.
High school
embarrassing.
She played guest guitar when we did Casualties covers, and I played the saxophone.
The saxophone?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Gabriella, Ella, and I were in sort of this, like, pop folk band called the Wifely Duties that she played the accordion in.
Yep. One time stint.
Awkward.
And Skidge was in Chuck Norris and
Slash is.
A bunch of other stupid bands.
Yeah.
Currently and before.
Okay. What was the idea behind the band? You mentioned to start a thrash band or a hardcore band. What was the?
Well, I think Jules originally wanted to start like a hardcore, more like youth crew band styles, but since Skidge is the only one that can write music, then he just like took over and directed it in the way that he wanted to take over the band. And then it worked out fine,
I think.
The
big takeover?
It's the big takeover, yeah.
I deny nothing.
But basically, I just wanted to be in like a fast punk band, the kind of music that I was listening to a lot. And I specifically wanted to be in a band with Gabriella. There aren't a lot of...
No, she regrets
females playing fast punk in Vancouver, or sort of like the more like basement DIY kind of punk.
Okay. Who are some of the influences, seeing as we're starting to talk about that musically?
Musically?
Punk-wise?
No, a lot of non-punk influences, I'd say.
That's okay. We can leave those out.
I don't know. I guess when we started, I was really into Gorilla on Grab. I still am, and I kind of wanted to do something like that, but it didn't really work, and I don't know, just like old 80s hardcore and stuff. And
you don't think it worked?
Well, I don't know, I guess, I don't know. I can't, it's hard to be objective about what
sure.
music you make, you
sure.
know? But that's basically, it's like 80s hardcore and punk and some current stuff, like hardcore stuff, you know, whatever. And things like Devo and the B-52s. Got them in.
Slip that in there.
Oh, I was listening to a lot of What Happens Next at the time when the band started, and that was just sort of like, sort of what I based my vocals around, but mostly I just tried to yell.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd also like to mention Pearl Jam.
Yes.
Direct influence on one of those songs we just played.
Really?
That's true.
You've never told
me
that
before.
Oh, no,
not Pearl Jam. Well, I do take influence from Pearl Jam, but I stole a riff from Red Hot Chili Peppers in my last little set there.
Are you going to give more away, or the...
No. You can just guess for yourself and find out.
All right. You're going to force us to listen to Red Hot Chili Peppers, are you?
It's true. Maybe Freaky Styly. I don't know.
Okay. If you had to limit your record collection to 5 releases, what would they be and why? No, not why. What would they be? And you can each take 5. But they have to be punk releases.
Oh, my God.
Lots of conditions on this list.
This is ridiculous.
Okay.
Sorry.
I already kind of, well, I have a couple that always stick out right away. If I had to limit, okay, Jawbreaker, 24 Hour Revenge Therapy. Probably Nirvana, Nevermind, minus Smells Like Teen Spirit, because I could never ever listen to that song in my life and be
that's
very happy.
That's
terrible song, but the rest of the album is like phenomenal.
He said punk.
Well, you know. And Honestly, probably even it's kind of like current, but it kind of like was one of those records that made it seem like it almost like changed your life, even if it happened in the last like 2 years. It was probably the first Modern Life is War, My Love My Way. Pretty sure that's what it's called. Don't put that. Someone else go. I gotta think. Those are pretty good though.
Green Day's Dookie, Black Flag, first 4 years, Fleetwood Mac, Rumors.
That's not punk.
The first Discharge album.
What are you? You're talking about Why or Hear Nothing, Say Nothing?
Hear Nothing, Say Nothing.
Fleetwood Mac is a punk band.
I would say yes.
I got that Schlong connection.
They all slept together. It's pretty punk. I can't think of a fifth one. Come back to me.
I think Skid should definitely go. I'm definitely not good at this at all. All
right, I'm going to say Discharge Y, Damaged. I got to throw Duty Now for the Future Devo in there.
Not Are We Not Men.
Are We Not Men is great, but Duty Now has got the classics.
Really?
Yeah, dude, it's got some good songs.
All right, I won't debate you on it. We'll just agree to disagree.
Oh yeah, I can get some more here. Maybe. I'll just throw some in that I've been listening to lots lately, like X Aspirations. Oh, I probably wouldn't actually love this, but I've been listening to it so much lately. So Raining Sand, Too Much Guitar. That's five, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't, a couple of those I wouldn't pick, but you know.
Do you want to? No.
No, I've never been a good record talker. So.
Faith Void Split.
Yeah. Gabriella, do you want to fill in 2 minutes? No, you don't have to if you don't want to. Three's good enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd either have to come back, but those three are like super top three.
Okay. What if people said you sound like? Who have you been compared to?
We get compared to a lot of other girl bands because we're girls. I've heard Bikini Kill before.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
know.
I don't see that. No. But yeah, I don't agree. People like to do that sort of thing.
They're like, oh, girl vocals. So it will sound like another band with girl vocals.
This guy, Steve Perry, thinks we sound just like the Regulations.
I do.
And I don't see it.
And when we heard the siren this afternoon, it made me think.
That's pretty
perfect.
Good.
It was perfect.
I don't know.
I don't know. I honestly haven't really read that much where I think where people have compared us to other bands.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't really read our reviews, really, so I don't really know.
Okay. Jules, do you write the lyrics?
Yeah.
What are some of the things you sing about?
Gender dynamics.
And?
Gender dynamics.
Okay.
Bullshit. And, mostly gender dynamics.
Okay, what are some of the titles of your songs?
Raise the Bar, Doesn't Matter, Anti-Reverence Anthem. You asked the titles, right?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Hell No, Posing Hard. Pussyfooters theme song.
Okay, the reason why I ask it is because the next question is about your favorite song, Margaret Thrasher song, from a lyrical standpoint and why, and then I'm going to ask everyone else, but at least it prompts them to get an idea of what some of the songs are. So what would you, out of all the stuff that you've written, what do you think you've kind of nailed in terms of a subject and from a lyrical standpoint, and why do you like it so much? Or what's it about?
I mean, I wouldn't, like, put a song or a record or keep lyrics if I didn't really like them, because I...
Sure.
I mean, I actually have in the past, but we won't talk about that. But I guess one song would be, I didn't like the title in the end, but I was away and someone chose the title Dead to Me. It's on our first 7-inch, but basically that song is about how... I feel like a lot of like hardcore lyrics are sort of about like sort of like the nuances of betrayal or just being like bummed on people around you without actually like addressing the actual issues. And that is what that song is about. And it's my favorite.
Okay. Okay. And now I'm going to ask you all about your favorite song from a lyrical standpoint and why.
I have one. We don't actually play it anymore, but it was the one where the lyrics are take back the night, I want to take back my fucking life. It's just a line, but I guess it's my favorite line. And honest, yeah, so I wish that we either still played that song or use those lyrics in another song, because I really like it. It's like, plus that's like the type of thing people could like sing along to if they so chose at a show or something. And it's just like such a good like two-line statement that pretty much encompasses like a bunch of different thoughts about the stuff that Jules sings about in general. I think that, to me, that line like kind of takes everything and makes it into like a really like powerful statement or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I have an actual specific one that I could pick out, but I do think a lot of the things that Jules writes about are reflect a lot of the things that I believe as well, and a lot of the stuff she says about like gender and feminism and shit like that, and stuff within the scene and between the people that we know. I think that a lot of it is like, I don't know. It's hard, definitely hard to pick out something specific for sure. But
I don't really know what the lyrics are.
That too. Not always know what she's saying.
Don't you read the lyric sheets?
I'm too concerned with my own input. I'm just kidding. But I don't really remember the lyrics.
You should have brushed up.
Yeah, but
you should have all brushed up.
I don't know.
We knew this question was coming.
I didn't know.
Yeah, you were.
It's okay. Is there a song that you might like to you look forward to playing? Perhaps.
I really like the Raise the Bar. That's a fun one.
I think my favorite one right now is Doesn't Matter. I just really like how it sounds. I don't actually know what it's about, but...
Also, Jules doesn't tell us the lyrics until the record comes out.
So. She keeps it a secret. It's well funny. Guarded.
If they ask me what the lyrics are, I get really mad at them.
That's true.
Okay, so Does It Matter came out recently? Is that
It came out in like April, March, or
is
April.
That
something?
That's the latest record, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us about the record and the recording? And I remember there was a booklet in it, specifically in a booklet about the issue of rape in one of the songs on the record. Do you want to talk about the booklet and the concept for the record?
I included that booklet because I kind of sort of was thinking about the issue of like rape in the scene when I was traveling as the record was coming out. And like basically that song is about... that song is called Blah 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 My Community, and it's about people using the issue of rape within the scene as sort of like inflammatory thing, or it's basically people who get, it's about dudes who get mad at other dudes about the issue of rape while not at all showing a concern for any sort of women's rights or ignoring like the needs and wants of the survivor in that situation. But then I sort of backtracked on that song because I kind of sort of don't actually believe that we're at a point where we can like be like, because we're still at a point where we deal with a lot of rape and sexual assault within our community. So we're not, I think that we should talk about how we can deal with it, but I sort of don't really feel like on a whole we're at that point. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Where like we should... I feel like we should still be focused at keeping women safe and stopping rape rather than sort of like dealing with sort of the aftermath. I don't know.
But it was also like in regards to the like the line in it, which is like, make rape your issue, not your fucking vendetta. And then I felt like the zine was like an elaboration of like that concept, right? Like where you were like, let's just like not be super reactionary right off the bat, but maybe just like take a step back and look at like all the different facets of like what's going on and then kind of make our choices from there. Is that sort of...
Yeah, that was sort of what it was about. But at the same time, like around the time when that record came out, there also came out a record by a woman who are now our friends called, I cannot pronounce their name because it's in Spanish, Condenada.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have a song called This Fight Is Ours, and it's about the issue of rape happening at the Pointless Fest in Philadelphia, where a group of women went and basically beat the shit out of one of the assaulters on the wishes of the survivor of that situation. And I feel like in that situation, I was just like, you know, they have a vendetta. They went out and kicked his ass, and that's like fine. And like, I feel like I didn't want to be like putting out a song that's being like think about this first, because I'm like, whatever, fucking punch him, whatever.
Okay. Tell us about the do you have other recordings? So you have another EP that came out. I think it was called I think it was referred to as the Dead to Me single. Was that?
No, it was called Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret Thrasher.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of maybe the Fuck Me Dead record.
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Maybe, I don't know. So how much earlier did that record come out?
About
6 months.
7 months, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do you have other recordings that's out of that?
We had like a demo we did, which is actually coming out in the next month or two on a split LP with this band that broke up like 5 years ago or something from Montreal called Beauty Dropout. It's come out on Radio 81 Records and P-Trash.
In Germany?
Yeah.
And do you have, are you working on new recordings?
Yeah, we're kind of like writing for like a possibly a 12-inch EP maybe or something.
Okay. Will it come out on Clarence Thomas or?
We're not sure yet what it'll be coming out on. Okay. We've talked to people, but it's nothing clear yet. So.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about some other extracurricular punk activities that the band's involved in. Gabrielle, you were telling me that you used to do a radio show.
Oh.
Do you want to tell me about?
That was only like. That was just for like a couple months stint with my friend. We just like played punk records at the campus radio at SFU in Vancouver. But that was actually like a really long time ago. But what else did you want to?
Well, I think also Skitch does a label. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
I actually don't.
You don't?
I do not.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
We were kind of playing a joke on you before.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Troy Malish does.
Oh, okay.
Clarence Thomas.
Instead of Portland.
He used to live in Vancouver.
Oh.
There was some confusion.
Well, no, thanks for clearing it up. Anyone else do anything else?
I do all ages shows. About once a month.
Yeah.
On average. And
is there a space that you work out of in particular?
Mostly out of my house, which is called the library, but I also do shows at other various all ages venues around Vancouver.
Okay. Is the library like a punk house or is it like a space? Yeah. Can you tell us about a bit more about it and maybe a bit about the Vancouver scene?
About the library, this house?
Yeah. Yes.
It's this house that I moved in recently, full of sort of librarian ex-punks.
Oh,
but
yeah?
They were really down with the idea of me having shows. It's gone. I've done 3 there so far. It's gone pretty well. There are various other houses in Vancouver that also do shows. The Elf House, for instance, where I used to live. And the Video Inn was a venue in Vancouver that I think is now defunct for punk and hardcore.
I don't think so. I think it's just expensive and there's other options now. Yeah. So I think people are just more going other places, I think.
But there's not that many venues in Vancouver, I would say, that are like secure venues. Like the Video Inn was one, but then yeah, they increased their prices, so I don't think that many people are stoked to do shows there. And then recently, like, there's like an illegal venue, like skate, indoor kind of skate park slash venue, that there was a show recently and it got shut down.
But the place isn't shut down though.
I know it's not shut down, but like, it just makes it so none of our venues are really that secure or like dependable, I guess. And there's always like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a few.
There's a few, but sometimes there just doesn't seem to be like an ideal one that's like a nice size or whatever, all that stuff. There's one that like a few shows have happened at lately. Okay, it's like kind of small. It's like kind of just like a studio artist space. And they seem to be stoked on doing shows. And then
a few warehouse spaces do also do shows. As far as the scene in Vancouver goes, I feel like there's not a lot of bands within Vancouver that are really stoked on the all ages scene. Like right now, a lot of them have broken up. Yeah. But it seems like when bands come to Vancouver and there are all ages shows, there's a really good turnout, and I'd say it's worth it for bands to come to Vancouver.
And American bands, we can get you across the border. Yeah, no problem.
It is legal for American bands to play in Canada if it is not in a restaurant or a bar.
Is that like some kind of loophole or something?
It's this law that nobody knew about that came about in 2001.
Is it a federal law or is it a BC law?
It's a federal law. Yeah. Section 186G of the Immigrant and Refugee Protection Act, stating that, like basically an artistic act that isn't an employee or like sort of making money for a business, but just sort of for themselves. Like,
so as long as you're not playing a bar.
Yeah, if you're not playing a bar or a restaurant or a coffee shop, if it's a house or bingo halls are allowed. I read those things. Yeah. And like venues and artist spaces are allowed, and you're allowed to bring merch up. And
like you could play at a skate shop or something.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the idea? Or is it because they sell something there?
Yeah, because that's sort of bringing business to a business. You know what I mean?
Okay. So as long as they're playing for themselves.
Yes.
Wow.
Section 186.
No one knows about that.
Immigrant and Refugee Protection Act.
Well, hopefully they'll know about it
just
now.
Just sort of...
That's good.
Write that in a letter to the border, and we haven't had problems since we started using it.
Wow. That's good to know about. What about... You were mentioning that there's not a lot of bands in Vancouver. There must be some, though. Like, are there some that you would recommend that we kind of keep an ear out for?
There's a few cool bands. Like,
who are some of the bands that you play with back home?
There's like a few. There's kind of like us.
Drugs.
Yeah, there's like a cyber band. They're cool. Newish band, Drugs.
Instrad's pretty cool. They're more of like a hardcore youth crew band, but they're really good and cool guys.
The new Fuck Me Dead band, the Beelines.
That's the Beelines. Yeah, we played them on the demo feature 2 weeks ago. They were amazing.
Mutators.
Yeah, Mutators are
cool.
Yeah,
the Mutators are good.
A lot of, like, I would say punk and hardcore fans wouldn't pay attention to them, but
they're really good.
Yeah, there's not a lot in Vancouver for, like, punk and hardcore. Like, there's a really big, like, bar scene of kind of, like, noisy, hipster, like, punk kind
of,
you know?
A lot of them are, like, really good.
Yeah, there's, like, they're cool bands and stuff, but it's, like, they mostly just play bars, and it's kind of, like, a separate scene, but it crosses over for sure, but... Yeah.
And there used to be a pretty big, like, sort of all ages straight edge hardcore scene in Vancouver, but most of those bands have broken up. And
yeah, it seems like a few of the big ones, or at least one of the big ones, and then the other big one is like about to break up. So
like Blue
maybe
Monday,
that'll like
go it alone.
That maybe seems maybe will like disperse that scene up a bit or whatever, and then. But there's always, like, little or, like, smaller kind of youth crew hardcore bands that are kind of starting or whatever. Or, like, not starting, but are playing now and stuff. And mostly, like, you can get everyone playing together, but sometimes it seems like people aren't interested in going to each other's shows. Like, if it's too, like... Not even too different, that's not what I mean, but just, like,
There's not a lot of crossover in terms of scenes going.
Like, sometimes there is, but sometimes there isn't. Sometimes you're, like, surprised because you go to a show and, like, you don't... Actually, my thought isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, there's, like, a lot of those bands that, like... I was like, there's no good bands in Vancouver. Then I, like, go to, like, a bar or something and be like, what? Where have these bands been? Like I never heard of them just because they only play bars. And, like, I never go to bars. So it's, like...
Yeah.
They're just kind of, like...
I also feel like there's... this like basement scene like outside of ours, these like houses that we don't really like hang out with that have like a lot of bands that, so I mean, as we're as much to blame as anyone else for,
yeah, it's kind of like just like a splintered scene there.
But it's sort of disappointing in terms of like the bar stuff, because like I do feel like there's probably like really good bands there, but I'm just like not interested in going to the bar to see them, and that like that whole sort of crowd does not interest me. So maybe I feel like I'm missing out on like really good music, but I just like can't bring myself to like go to the bar and like sit there and watch bands and be surrounded by like shitty bar people. So like I just don't go. And we are missing out, but like I don't know. At the same time, like I feel like they're probably missing out on like the DIY all ages scene, like big time, you know? So it's okay. Like I would rather probably just like, if I had to choose, which I do, I would just like, I choose what I go to, right? And I don't choose that side of it. So I don't know. What? Fuck you. Don't laugh at me. Don't laugh at my answers.
Is there any cool record stores or anything that people should know about in Vancouver?
Not really. Like there's Scratch, which is, it's all right, but. There's nothing like, the thing that bums me out about Vancouver record stores is like, you know, here you got like hits and misses, and like they have cool old records. Like you can't get old records in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's, but it's a recent place. We've been starved for a record store.
Yeah, that's true. But I feel like a lot of places like in the States and stuff, they'll have like old records on the wall. Like Vancouver, it's like new records only pretty much. Well, I guess there's Zulu, but they don't really get that many punk records as far as I know.
What about alternative places, like maybe vegetarian places, restaurants or whatever? Is there, or
there's like a couple, there's but like comparatively to like anywhere else, really, Vancouver kind of like sucks on
it. It seems like it would have a lot more, but
it's like hippie like, galore.
Yeah, and they're all like expensive and far. And
what about radio shows?
There's Flex Your Head.
And Generation Annihilation.
Yeah, I guess there's two punk ones.
They're both on the UBC CITR.
Have you heard about this Victoria comp that just came out?
No.
Victoria Punk Underground?
No.
It's called All Your Ears Can Hear. Do you know anything about it?
No.
Never heard of it.
Okay. I want to ask you about it. I wanted to ask you about the name Margaret Thrasher. Where did the name come from?
Jules?
Awkward. No, it was just... I was trying to start a band a few years ago with my roommate Sylvie, and we were just throwing out some dumb puns, and she thought of that one, and I thought it was great at the time. But now,
you don't like it anymore?
Yeah.
I think it worked really well with the first EP, though.
Yeah, the Judy Bloom was a good play. Pun was good. But
for the record, I was against that title. I got it.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it. And then they said I could pick the name of the second one, and I wanted to call the second one, be sure and tell them Large Marge sent you. But they vetoed that.
I agreed to that.
I had to veto it. I'm sorry. I can't take
it. I thought that the name Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret Thrasher was a great name for our first EP.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Because it was like, it's like, this is like, as like the females in a band, this is like our first like sort of serious like punk band. And that's like a novel about coming of age, and it's perfect. But at the same time, like, I kind of really hate how, you know, we're a girl band, so we have to have a girl name. I hate that like thing. So now in the end, I just wish we had more like a gender neutral name instead of being like, hey, we're girls, did you notice that we're girls? We have a feminine name.
The one thing I like about the names in Montreal, it was Margaret Thrasher, which I really liked.
That's what people said.
It was how, like, they, there was like a marquee thing at the bar or whatever, and it said,
They took out the H.
And then in like the list of all the shows at the place, I had Thrasher as well. I thought it was really French.
Yeah.
French. For sure. Okay. How can people get in touch with the band?
You could email
or write us.
Or write us.
Do you want the address?
Yes, please.
P.O. Box 21530, 1424 Commercial Drive, Vancouver, BC, V5L5G2.
Is that like a P.O. Box kind of address? Or
yeah, it's P.O. Box.
Okay.
I've shared among on, many.
Yes,
people.
I've seen it on lots of punk releases. Yeah.
Submission Hold has that one.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is it a space or is it?
No, it's just post the office, same yeah. mail area.
Okay.
Post office.
And what was the email address?
You could just email Skidge.
Yeah, it's Skidgetron.
Wait, by Skidge.
66@hotmail.com.
Okay. Any last comments?
Thanks a lot for letting us play here at your radio station and record at your radio station.
Yeah, it's not mine.
You own this place.
Yeah, no.
Come see us tonight, except that this will probably air in a couple months, so don't.
We won't be there.